I want to turn to the Genesis chapter 28. You know, Isaac had two sons called Esau and Jacob. And the Bible says before the children were born, God chose Jacob to fulfill his plans and purposes. We read that in Romans. That is God's sovereign plan, which human mind can't understand. The Bible says Esau hated Jacob by love. Both from the same family, but God chose one person. And we know Jacob had a bad start. We know how he was trying to grab the birthright which belonged to Esau. And later on, he was grabbing the blessing which Isaac was supposed to give to Esau. And now, he was fearing his brother and he was running away from Esau. And Genesis 28, Isaac called Jacob was one and blessed him and charged him, said unto him, you shall not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. What a wonderful exhortation this old covenant man gave to his son. And arise, go to Padan Aram, and God will bless you, make you fruitful. And so Jacob had to leave his house and travel a long distance. And verse 11 it says, he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took some stones as pillows and he went to sleep and he had a dream. And you know, Jacob had a wonderful dream from the Lord. He says, behold, a ladder set up on the earth and the top of it reached to heaven. Angels of God ascending and descending on it. And top of that, in the dream, God spoke to this man called Jacob, who was a grabber, deceiver. And the Lord said, I am the Lord your God of Abraham, your father, and God of Isaac. And the land whereon you lie, to thee I will give it, unto your seed. And verse 14, and your seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in your seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. God gave this promise to Abraham and Isaac. No, God confirmed it to Jacob. And then he said, verse 15, behold, I am with you. Imagine Jacob having so much fear, running away from Esau. And God spoke to him that night, I am with you and will keep you in all places whither you goest, and will bring you again to this land. And I like this last part. I will not leave you until I have done that which I have spoken to you of. What a fantastic promise God gave to Jacob. I've laid hold of you. I will not leave you until I have done that which I have spoken. Oh, Jacob, that night got up from sleep and he said, the Lord is in this place. I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. I hope you young people, I hope you'll get a dream like this. What kind of dreams are you getting? And oh, Jacob had an encounter with God in his youth. God spoke to him directly from heaven and God gave him a promise. And Jacob would say, God is in this place. And that's how the church should be, brothers and sisters. All those who come to the church must say, God is in this place. This is the gate of heaven. I can find how to get into the kingdom of heaven. How to get a connection with heaven. I like the expression. This is the gate of heaven. And through Christ, we can find the way to the kingdom of heaven. And you know, the Bible says, if any man is in Christ, it's a new creation. All things are passed away. And that's how it should be when we repent and turn from all our past sins and turn to Christ. We have an encounter with Christ. And then Christ comes into our heart. And all things are passed away. Like we sing in the song, things that I used to do, I do them no more. There's a great change since I was born. All those who had an encounter with Christ, they've never been the same. That woman was a prostitute. She met Jesus. Her life was changed. Zacchaeus met Jesus. His life was changed. Saul met Jesus. And his life was changed. And we can go on in the scriptures. All those who had an encounter with the Lord. I want to ask you, brothers and sisters, have you had an encounter with the Lord? Have you been really saved? Can you say, I am born again? Jesus has forgiven me. He is my Savior. He is my Lord. He has come into my heart. All things are passed away. All my old friends are gone. Old habits are gone. Jesus has come to live in my heart. If you never had an encounter with the Lord, I met many brothers and sisters. I can make out. Like Brother Zach often used to tell us, he says, they don't know the Lord. They speak the right language, but they don't know the Lord. I want to ask you, brothers and sisters, this morning, do you know the Lord? Can you say, I found Him? John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God. Oh, if you never come to know the Lord as your personal Savior, I would encourage you to skip your lunch this morning and seek the Lord desperately. Lord, I want to know you, Lord. Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners. Like we sing in the song, He touched me, shackled by every burden, neath the load of sin and shame. Then the hand of Jesus touched me. Do you have that living connection with the Lord, brother? Can you say boldly, I was a sinner, but the Lord changed me. The Lord forgave me. And all the guilt of the past is gone. I'm reconciled with Jesus. I'm restored. I'm born again. And Jesus is my Savior. And I believe, brothers and sisters, we must have that confidence in the Lord. I asked some people, I said, are you saved? Some people say, brother, I'm repenting. I'm not asking whether you're repenting. If I ask you, are you married? You don't say, I'm trying to get married. Either you're married or not married. Same way, either you're saved or you're not saved. And I want to tell many brothers who are unsure, don't live in this uncertainty. Either you're saved or you're not saved. Or you've not been properly saved, then you need to be saved. You need to have a fresh touch from the Lord and say, Lord, I want to be 100% sure that I don't belong to the kingdom of darkness. I don't belong to this world. I believe we should be able to say, I was a sinner, but Jesus loved me and saved me and wiped away all my past. I am His child now. And He has filled my heart with praise. Like we sing the song, I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Sometimes when I see brothers and sisters, I don't find they have joy. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I'm washed. All my sins are washed away. Jesus has given me peace. I'm reconciled with God. And if you're not reconciled with God this morning, brothers and sisters, you need an encounter with the Lord. Some of you are just coming along to the church, but you personally don't have that encounter with the Lord. That you don't have that confidence. Maybe your dad and mama saved, but you're not saved. Don't think because your dad and mama saved, you're automatically saved. And parents, we need to help our children that they come to a personal knowledge of the Lord and Jesus Christ. That they have the joy of knowing Christ as their Savior. And I want to say that's what will give you a foundation in your life. Not doing some work in the church, trying to help the church. To know that one day the Lord touched me. One day the Lord forgave me. One day the Lord gave me an assurance that I am His child, that I belong to Him. And you know, Jacob, that day, we can say, you really had this first encounter with the Lord. And Jacob moved on. He went to Laban's house, and we know the whole story, how he was interested in getting Rachel, and he got deceived. And then he worked for Leah, and then he had so much of problems in his work. It's amazing how even after we get saved, how the Lord lays hold of us and works with us, sometimes with all the family problems and the problems in the office. The Lord seeks to break us. And after many, many years, and after many, many problems, one day the Lord told him, Jacob, go back to Genesis 31:3. Return to your land of your fathers and your kindred, and I'll be with you. And so Jacob decided to come back to his father's place. And then later on, you know, he heard that Esau was coming to meet him. And he got pretty scared. He said, Lord, I don't know whether Esau is going to take revenge on me and kill me, kill all my children. And he got scared. And he began to seek the Lord. Isn't it good that sometimes God allows many situations in our lives, maybe at home, maybe at job, to help us to seek the Lord? And this man who was such a schemer, grabber, deceiver, was chapter 32, verse 24. Jacob was left alone, and Jacob had a second encounter with the Lord after many, many years. Maybe some of you got genuinely saved one day, but maybe today you're backslidden. The Lord wants to have a second encounter with you. And Jacob sought the Lord that night. Oh, he didn't go to sleep. He was scared for his family. And so he sought the Lord. Verse 24, there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of day. And it says then, and he saw that he prevailed not against him. Verse 25, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint, and he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaks. And Jacob said, I will not let you go, and except you bless me. Oh, this man who was grabbing the birthright, the blessing, grabbing women, property. At last he learned to lay hold of God. And said, Lord, you got to help me. You got to bless me, Lord. You got to change me. I need your help, Lord. And then the Lord supernaturally touched him that night. And Jacob was no longer the same man. Verse 28, your name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince, you have power with God and with men, and you prevail. And verse 30, Jacob called the name of the place Peniel. First he called Bethel, the first place where he had an encounter with the Lord, where the Lord spoke to him. Now, he said, I've seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And I believe Jacob was never the same again. The Lord touched him. He started limping, leaning on the staff. He was no longer that strong, confident, capable kind of a man. No, he became a broken man. And it says here, verse 29, and he blessed him there. God blessed Jacob there. And this is a proof that material blessing is not the sign of God's blessing. It's amazing how blind we can be, thinking all the material blessing is sign of God's blessing. You know what is the sign of God's blessing in your life, brothers and sisters? Jacob became a broken man that day. And the Bible says God blessed him. Have you got that blessing from the Lord? The blessing of brokenness. Has the Lord been able to break you? So many young people I see, they're not broken. They don't want to listen to anybody. They want to do what they like. But the Lord laid hold of Jacob. He said, I will not leave you. It's amazing how God can lay hold of some people. You know, Jacob had a bad start, but he ended up pretty well. I want to talk to you this morning. Did you have a bad start? Never mind, there's hope for you, brothers and sisters. You can turn to the Lord, and if you lay hold of God like Jacob and say, Lord, I want this blessing of brokenness. Lord, break me, Lord. There, more than money and property and women. Lord, that I want you, that I lay hold of you. And so that our nature is changed from being worldly minded, being carnal. That we lay hold of God, that the Lord becomes everything for us. And that's the work the Lord wants to do in us, brothers and sisters. When He can change our nature from being earthly minded to being heavenly minded. Where we are satisfied with the Lord. He's fairest of 10,000. But the Lord becomes so wonderful, so precious, so glorious. Like we're singing that song. And the things of the earth become strangely dim. Oh, may the Lord help us to have a second encounter, brothers and sisters. Where we let the Lord really deal with us. Deal with our pride, our stubbornness. Doing what we like. Going where we want to go. So that the Lord can break us. And we become small in our own eyes. And we are content to be where the Lord wants us to be. We are content to go where the Lord wants us to go. And have power with God. And with men. Oh, maybe say, Lord, I want this blessing. I want to lay hold of you, Lord. He says, as a prince, you have power with God. Is that God's will? We should be powerless. The Lord wants to give us such an anointing and grace and help so that we can say, I have power with God and power with men. And it says here, verse 31, and he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he limped upon his thigh. From that day, Jacob was no longer that old, confident, capable kind of a man. He became a humble man. He knew that without the Lord, he's nobody. And he knew that he needed the Lord so much in his life. And then we move on to the next encounter Jacob had with the Lord. It's very interesting. Even with the kind of background that Jacob had, the Lord spoke to him again and again and again. You know, there was a family problem again Jacob had. I'm not going into all the details. You can go home and read in chapter 34. And he had a very serious family problem. He was afraid of his daughter was defiled by the heathen people, and he was afraid they'll come and attack him. And then, chapter 35, verse 1, he had another encounter with the Lord, and the Lord spoke to Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel, and dwell there. Oh, I love that verse. It blessed my heart. The Lord was saying, Jacob, go back to Bethel, the house of God, where you had an encounter with him. Make there an altar to God that appeared unto you when you fled from the face of Esau, your brother. And Jacob, he heard God's voice that day, a specific word from God. And Jacob said, verse 2, Jacob said unto his household, told with him, put away the strange gods that are among you. And be clean. And change your garments. Maybe some of your fathers need to say that to your family members. Put away the strange garments. How come there are other gods in the house? How come there's idolatry in the house? You shall worship the Lord your God and serve Him only. The Lord wants a family that's wholehearted. The Lord wants brothers and sisters, the husbands and wives and children who are wholehearted. And Jacob told them, let's arise. Go up to Bethel. I'll make the altar God who answered me in the day of my distress and was with me in the way which I went. And the family members were obedient and they gave up all the strange gods. They repented. They turned from all idolatry that day. And gave to Jacob this year. He hid them under the oak tree. And because Jacob repented, there was a revival in his family life. And brothers and sisters, when the Lord sees fathers and mothers humbling themselves, I pray the Lord to hear your prayer and touch your children as well. And says they journeyed and the terror of God was upon the cities. Oh, God saved Jacob that day from all the neighbors supernaturally. And verse 6 says that Jacob came to Luz, which is in the land of Canaan, that is Bethel. He and all the people that were with him. And he built an altar, there an altar, and called the place El Bethel, because there God appeared unto him when he fled from the face of his brother. God did something for Jacob that day. And verse 9. 35 verse 9. And God appeared to Jacob. Again it says. I like that expression. Oh, maybe you say, Lord, speak to my heart again, Lord. You spoke to me on the day I got saved. Maybe, Lord, you spoke to me in the conference. I hope this morning you will say, Lord, speak to me again. Has any idolatry come into my house? Children, young people, have you brought some idols into your house? Maybe the idol of music. Maybe the idol of internet. Maybe the idol of bad friends. You got to put away. Say, Lord, I want to hear you. And verse 10, God said unto him, your name shall not be called anymore Jacob, but Israel. And God spoke to Jacob again. This is what encourages me. God spoke to Jacob again and again. And again, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. Nation and company of nations shall be of you. And kings shall come out of your loins. And the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac to you, I'll give it unto your seed after you, where I give the land. God was telling Jacob, I got a plan for you and your descendants. I've chosen you. I will not forsake my plan for you. And maybe the Lord's telling us, I got plans for you. I chose you long before you were born. Before the foundation of the world, I chose you. Maybe you're backslidden. But today, this morning, you can turn from all idols in your life. Break them. And let me fulfill my plans for you. And I hope the Lord will hear a response from all of you. Young people, have you let some idol come into your heart this morning? Today, Jesus is not so precious in your eyes. Has some boy or girl become so precious? As the things of the world become so precious. The Lord's not so precious in your eyes. That's why you've gone down in your life. Instead of going forward. Come back to Bethel, brothers and sisters. I want to say that again. Arise! Some of you need to get up. Wake up. Go up to Bethel. Lord, you called me from a Hindu background. You chose me, Lord. I don't want to be a backslider. I want the Lord be restored to you. He says, make an altar. Some of us brothers and sisters, we need to come back to the Lord. Say, Lord, I want you. I want to come back to you. I want to lay hold of you, Lord. I just want to be a disciple. Fathers and mothers and young people, let's come back to the Lord this morning. And say, Lord, I want you to speak to my heart. Restore me, Lord. To yourself, where I am happy and content with you. You know, brothers and sisters, when we have the Lord, we don't need anything else. The Lord told Jeremiah, they have forsaken the fountain of living waters. Jesus has come to give us life, an abundant life. Why are you finding your satisfaction in the things of the earth, which cannot satisfy you? We used to sing a song, "The fountain of life, quench your heart, your thirst." Oh, maybe say, "Lord, come and quench my thirst this morning. You be my everything, Lord. You be my Lord. I want to find my satisfaction, contentment, fulfillment, Lord, in you, doing your will, living for you, fulfilling your plans and purposes." And I hope you say, "As for me and my house, we will live for the Lord and serve Him." Verse 13, it says, God went up from him in the place where he talked with him. How wonderful. God began to speak to Jacob. Oh, maybe say, "Lord, speak to me, Lord, again and again and again. I want to have encounters with you, Lord, where you'll speak to me and ask me to go back to Bethel, go back to that first commitment, go back to that fresh dedication." Like we heard this morning, you mothers, will you say, "Lord, I'm not going to let the devil touch my children. My children are for you." Oh, maybe lay hold of God, brothers and sisters, fathers and mothers, and all of you young people. Maybe say, "Lord, I want you. I want the blessing of brokenness. I want the grace of God in my life. I want the anointing of God in my life. I want to walk with you, Lord. The joy of walking with the Lord." And I hope we'll say, "Lord, I'm here to fulfill your plans and purposes. I don't want to do what I like. And I want to turn to you." And see here, verse 14, Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he talked with him. Oh, maybe say, "Lord, I want you to quicken your word. Reveal your word to me." Brothers and sisters, has there any staleness come into your life? Has the dryness come into your life? Has the stagnation come into your life? Why? We need to come back to Bethel and say, "Lord, I don't want any idolatry in my life. I want the grace of God, the anointing of God. I want your words to come to my heart in a living way, in a powerful way." I believe that's how meeting should be. When we hear God's word to our hearts, it says, "Your young man shall," it says in the in Joel, it says, "I'll pour out my spirit upon your young people," it says, "all flesh, and your young men, women shall prophesy." You know, you can make out when a person is filled with the Holy Spirit, he speaks forth God's word. It doesn't come from here. When Peter spoke on the day of Pentecost, he says they were cut to the heart. When Stephen spoke full of the Spirit, he says they were cut to the heart. Oh, may we say, "Lord, quicken your word to me. Put your words, Lord, in my mouth. I want your anointing. I want to value the anointing." Maybe some of you, you don't value the anointing today. Once upon a time, maybe you valued it, but today it's not so important for you. You can carry on without the anointing and maybe say, "Lord, I want a fresh experience like Jacob had at Peniel. I want to lay hold of you, Lord. I want the real anointing, real baptism of the Holy Spirit, real power to obey your word, to live for you, Lord, to serve you, to witness for you, to fulfill your purposes." And he says here, Jacob had one more encounter with the Lord as he began to grow, became a grandfather. We read in Genesis chapter 46. We know how Joseph had to go to Egypt, and then because of food, Joseph called all of his family to Egypt. And verse 46, And Israel took his journey with all that he had, came to Beersheba and offered a sacrifice to God, Father. And verse 2, he had another encounter with the Lord. And God spoke to Israel in the visions of the night. Jacob. And he said, here am I. Oh, maybe say, Lord, I want you to speak to me. And God said, I am God, God of your father. Fear not to go down to Egypt, for I'll there make of you a great nation. I'll go down with you into Egypt, and I'll also surely bring you up again. And Joseph shall put his hand upon your eyes. You know, when Abraham went to Egypt, he didn't consult the Lord. He just went on his own. There was famine. He just went. And we know he suffered great loss because he didn't consult the Lord and went to Egypt. And that's where he got Hagar. And through Hagar came Ishmael. But to Isaac, the Lord said, you don't go to Egypt. God spoke to Isaac and said, when there's a famine, you don't go to Egypt. And Isaac did not go to Egypt. But now God was telling Jacob, you go to Egypt. That's what happens when you listen to God. Don't say, oh, God spoke like that, so I'll do the same thing. Maybe God may be saying something different to you today. God was telling Jacob, you can go to Egypt now. You know why? God had his sovereign plan for Jacob and his people. Jacob had to go to Egypt so that one day God could bring the whole people of Israel from Egypt according to his plan. So God told Jacob, don't fear. You go to Egypt. And he says, I'll go down with you in Egypt. How wonderful, brothers and sisters, to listen to God. When the Lord says, don't go, don't go. When the Lord says, go, you go. Oh, maybe be more and more sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And we know how Jacob went finally and met Joseph, and how when he ended his life, blessed his family. Oh, Jacob was a man who had encounters with the Lord. And I really feel this morning, many of us, we need an encounter with the Lord, especially if your life is becoming dry and stale and stagnant, and you don't find there's a freshness in your life. Oh, maybe never settle down for that life and say, Lord, I want a fresh touch from you, Lord. I want a fresh anointing. I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, I tell you, brothers and sisters, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, something happens. Rivers of living water start flowing. You start praising the Lord. You start witnessing. And you start loving God's word. And you start living for the Lord. And you start blessing others. And I really feel, maybe some of you have never been saved. It's possible some of you have never been baptized. You need to seek the Lord. Lord, I'm just listening along. I need a touch from you, Lord. I need a fresh encounter. An encounter that can change my life. Maybe respond to God, brothers and sisters, this morning. Say, Lord, I don't want to be a religious person. I feel sad when I see brothers and sisters sitting here for long and they're not even saved. I heard of a person who was here for long, now he's not here. Now the person not here. I heard that someone said that they're not even saved. It's possible there are people sitting here for years and you're not even baptized with the Holy Spirit. You need a touch from God. Or maybe once upon a time you were saved and baptized, but today you're not the same person. You lost the anointing. Oh, maybe say, Lord, I want you to restore me. Like Jacob, Lord, touch me also this morning. Change my life. Change my priorities. Change my nature and habits, Lord, so that I can live on this earth to fulfill your plans and purposes. Oh, maybe respond to God this morning, brothers and sisters. I believe the Lord is seeking to tell us these days. I hope you'll have a ear to hear what the Lord is saying. See, Simeon came in the spirit to the temple. Maybe say, Lord, I want to respond to you. I want to turn Maybe some idols have come into your life which was not there before. Will you say, Lord, I want to turn from them. I want to put them away from my house. And I want to lay hold of you, Lord. I want you to be my everything. I want you to be my King and Lord and Savior. And so that I can say that I'm living to bring God pleasure. Like we sing in the song, I live for my Savior's pleasure. Oh, brothers and sisters, may we bring joy to God's heart. May we let the Lord bless us. I hope you let the Lord bless you this morning. Say, Lord, I want the blessing of brokenness. I want the blessing of hearing your word. I want the blessing of revival in my family. And maybe God can use you to bring revival to the church. Oh, maybe live to fulfill God's plan and purposes. We'll sing a song and after that we'll hear Charles.
There's a saying in the world that says, haste is waste. And many of us know that. And there is a verse in Isaiah 28. Isaiah 28, verse 16, the last part of it. It says, he who believes will not be in a hurry. Or in another translation it says, he who believes will not make haste. That means when I believe God's word and his promises, I will not be in a hurry to go ahead of God's time. We saw about Jacob now. God had chosen him even before he was born. Isaac, Jacob I chose, and Esau I hated, it says in Romans. God had chosen him beforehand, and he knew that, and his parents must have already told him. But he wanted to make haste and run ahead of God's time, and anybody who runs ahead of God's time will ultimately land up in trouble. And we know that this man, because he grabbed the birthright in a way that God didn't intended him to take, he grabbed it before God's time. He had to suffer for it. 20 years he had to run away from his parents and work for his uncle. That's his father-in-law. And that was quite a business, quite a education for him. Because maybe we could just turn there in Genesis 28. God had clearly promised him what he will do with him. So Genesis 28, verse 15. The Lord says to him, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land. For I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. God had given him a clear promise that he will be with him and he will keep him wherever he went. And he will bring him back to that land, and that he will not leave him until he had done everything that he had promised. But you read his response in verse 20. He says back to God, then Jacob made a vow to God saying, if God will be with me and will keep me on this journey that I take and will give me food to eat and garments to wear, And I return to my father's house in safety, then the Lord will be my God. And then he says, the last part of it, verse 22, then I will surely give a tenth part of whatever income I earn unto thee. Lord, I'll give you 10% commission if you do all this for me. Like he is doing a bargain with God. You know, it is very strange, when Jacob finally had to move away from there and face his brother Esau, you know, he was so terrified. We read that in chapter 32, verses 7 and 11 we read here, Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. And verse 11 also, he prays to God, deliver me, I pray, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau. I fear him, lest he come and attack me and the mothers with the children. Esau was scared of his brother because he had cheated him and had taken the birthright and all that. And now he's so scared. There was no reason for him to be scared if only he had believed the Lord's promise in full. The Lord had told him, I will bring you back safely into the land. If he had believed that, you know, he wouldn't, there was no need for him to be afraid. He could have faced his brother boldly. And this is what happens when we run ahead of God's time. We always suffer. Nobody is blessed because of that. Moses ran ahead of God's time. He thought he was capable of releasing the Israelites from the hands of the Egyptians. And he went ahead and killed somebody. And then because of that, he had to run away from God and his people into the wilderness for 40 years. For 40 years he suffered because of that disobedience, because of his haste. And we read about Abraham also. Abraham, God had promised that out of you I will raise a seed and make a great nation out of you. But Abraham waited, nothing seems to happen. And then he finally got a bright idea through his wife. And you know the result of it. And God had to keep silent for 13 years. You read that in Genesis 16:16 and 17:1. God had to keep silent for 13 years. He had no contact with God. For 13 years, God was silent. And then after that, God speaks to him. We read in contrast about David. God had promised through Samuel that this is the man after my own heart whom I have chosen, and he will do all my will. And then after Saul, he was the next person to sit on the throne. And David knew that pretty well. And when Saul was in his hand, in his power, twice in the cave, he spared his life. He didn't kill him. And he said, I will not raise my hand on the Lord's anointed. You know that, many of you know it very clearly, that Saul lost the anointing and an evil spirit came and dwelt in him. Even when a man is backslidden so much that the Holy Spirit goes out of him and an evil spirit comes into him, even to him David says, he is God's anointed. He was anointed by God once upon a time. I am not going to raise my hand on him. I will not even speak against him. He was such a man after God's own heart. No wonder he waited. For 17 years he waited. At the age of 17 he was anointed. At the age of 30 he became king. For 13 years he waited until God put him on the throne. He was not in a hurry to become king. Let us learn this one thing this morning from what we heard about from Jacob's life. Let us not run ahead of God's time. Let us wait for God to act. Promotion, it says, comes neither from the east nor from the west, but from the Lord alone. Yeah, amen.
I was thinking of Jacob in Genesis chapter 32. We heard how the Lord met with Jacob multiple times. And he met him in Bethel, where we heard is called the house of God. And then he met him again at Peniel in Genesis chapter 32, which is called the face of God. And I was thinking that the goodness of God is so much, you know. So we've heard here that the house of God is like the church, the place where the people of God gather together. But God doesn't just leave us to be ones who sit and hear somebody else speaking, but He wants to lead us on to the place where we know the very face of God. It's the privilege that we have got in the New Covenant. We know that in the New Covenant, the promise which says that they shall all know Him from the least to the greatest of them. The Lord does not leave us alone. He wants to know us personally one by one by one. And He came again and again to Jacob. We heard about that so clearly. He didn't leave Jacob alone. Jacob had a bad start. You know, he was called the deceiver, the grabber. He kept grabbing on things. He just thought that he needed to make his own life and his own destiny. He came out fighting with his brother, grabbing onto his heel. But the Lord met with him. And we hear finally in Genesis chapter 32 that where the Lord begins to work with him in such a way that he even changes his name. Jacob wrestles in chapter 32 verse 27, we hear, I think this is the first time that the Lord says to Jacob, your name shall no longer be Jacob. You shall no longer be that deceiver, that grabber who's trying to make something for himself. But you shall be called Israel, the Prince of God. I think that was a change in Jacob's life. He had come, now was also the time where his thigh was broken, his thigh bone was broken. He had come to that place where he was no longer leaning on his own strength, but he had begun to lean on the Lord. He was maybe limping in the face of the world. Maybe he was this no longer this young, capable man. He was this middle-aged man who was limping around. But he was leaning on the Lord. He was leaning on the Lord. I see a verse in Isaiah chapter 41 which keeps coming to me. It says there in Isaiah chapter 41 verse 14, do not fear, you worm Jacob, you men of Israel. I will help you, declares the Lord, and your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. And what came to me was these two things. Jacob, the capable man, had come to this place where he said, Lord, I can do nothing of myself. I need to lean on you. I need to move ahead in you. I need your strength. If not, I'm finished. That was the first part. But not only did he see there was no strength in himself, but he did have that confidence in the Lord. He knew that the Lord would help him. He knew the Lord would strengthen him. It was these two parts, that no confidence in myself, but my complete leaning on the Lord, which I think made such a difference in Jacob's life. And I was seeing at the end of Jacob's life in Genesis chapter 48, at this time he's called Israel, the Prince of God. He's no longer called Jacob, the deceiver. And in Genesis chapter 48, in verse 11, we read how Joseph brings to Israel his two boys. And it's so wonderful that, you know, several years ago, Jacob had stolen the blessing from Israel. And in almost a parallel scene now, Joseph has brought both his sons to Jacob and asked him to bless the first. But what spoke to me here was, by this time, Israel was so much in touch with the Lord. It comes that, it says here in verse 14, but Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it on Ephraim, who was the younger, and his left hand on Manasseh's head, who is the older. What came to me at this time is that by this time, Israel had so leaned on the Lord and was so sensitive to the Lord that he knew what the Lord wanted him to do. And it came to me, the goodness of the Lord is such that he won't leave us alone. Even though we may have had people who had bad starts, he's going to strengthen us. He's going to make us men who are in touch with the Lord. Men who know what to do, what the Lord's heart is. And to bless as the Lord wants us to bless. I wanted to end with Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, where it says about Jacob again. By faith, Jacob, as he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshipped leaning on the top of his staff. And what came to me was this, that here is the wonderful thing is that, this is the chapter of the heroes of faith. We hear of men who did such marvelous things. But what's the wonderful thing about Jacob? The wonderful thing about Jacob that is pointed out is, here is a man whom God blessed by breaking him and by leaning upon, by making him to lean upon the Lord, and as a result he became a blessing. I want to just hold on to that, that truly the wonderful thing about it is, even in me, God can make this deceiver to be someone who is the Prince of God, someone who can bless others, who can be in touch with the Lord. Amen.
Let's close our eyes this morning and respond to God's word. Have you had an encounter with the Lord? I don't want anyone sitting here to be in doubt whether you're saved or not. If you're not saved, I would encourage you to come and meet with us after the meeting and say, "Brother, I want to be saved. I don't want to leave the meeting in that uncertainty." And if you've never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, don't be in doubt. Seek the Lord until you're really baptized in the Holy Spirit. And if you're backslidden, you need to be restored. Maybe you're not broken. The Lord wants to break you. Will you say, "Lord, break me, Lord. I want the blessing of brokenness in my life," which is much, much greater than all the earthly blessings which money cannot buy. I really believe the Lord wants to give us the blessing of brokenness, you can say, so that you can say, "The Lord has blessed me. He's given me a broken heart and a broken spirit." The Lord uses broken people. The Lord needs you this morning, brothers and sisters. Some of us are too strong. Will you say, "Lord, break me, Lord. Do anything, Lord, to break me, so that I become a useful vessel in your kingdom, so that I don't waste my life." Brothers and sisters, we need to seek the Lord. Don't take your life for granted. Don't waste your life. Time is so short. Will you give yourself totally to the Lord? Don't just drift along. Let the Lord do a quick work in you. Let Him break you. Allow Him to break you soon. Lord, we pray this morning that You will help us, Lord. I think of many who are sitting here who have never known You. Lord, bring them to tremendous need and repentance. They'll come to a knowledge of You, Lord. They'll know You as Savior and Lord. We think of many who are not baptized in the Holy Spirit, Lord. We pray that You'll fill them with Your Holy Spirit, Lord. And we think of many others, Lord, who need to be restored this morning. I pray, Lord, You'll restore them back to You, Lord. They'll know the joy of restoration. And many who need to be broken, that they'll know the joy of brokenness. Meet with us this morning, Lord. I pray You'll give us grace to seek You these days and lay hold of You, Lord. Help us as a church, Lord, that we can be in the place where You can bless us and fulfill Your plans and purposes in and through us, Lord. Supply the lacks and needs of the church this morning. Draw us nearer to You, Lord. Work in us mightily through Your word. We praise You, Lord. We worship You. Yes, Lord, You're in the business of restoration and healing. We give You praise and thanks and worship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And, is there anyone who's visiting us for the first time? We'd like to greet you and welcome you this morning, both here and in the second floor. Are you visiting us for the first time? Anybody else? Yeah, we are very happy to have your friends visiting us. Let's give a hand and welcome them. Please do come again. We have meetings every Sunday at 9:30 a.m. and on Wednesdays at 6:30.